Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We'll read verses 20 and 21. And we also want to include chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. So first, Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then Matthew chapter 20, verses 26, 27, and 28. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. Now, we also want to read Lord's Day 11, which you can find in the back of our Psalter, page 39, Lord's Day 11, page 39. Question 29, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is, a Savior. Answer, because He saves us and delivers us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. We'll stop there. We will continue our series on the Heidelberg Catechism, and we're now in Lord's Day 11, which is about the name Jesus. The question is, why is the Son of God called Jesus? Well, in this message, we will see that the name Jesus carries the idea of a servant, a shepherd, and a savior. And so I have 3 points in this message: Jesus as our servant, Jesus as our shepherd, and finally, Jesus as our Savior. But this morning, we will only consider the first point. I plan to have 2 more messages dealing with the last 2 points. So let's focus on Jesus as our servant. In our text, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, Mary shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, boys and girls, the name Jesus is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Joshua. So, if your name is Joshua, that's the Hebrew version of the Greek name Jesus. Joshua actually was originally Hoshea, but later Moses changed. Hoshea into Joshua. We read that in Numbers 13, verse 16. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Now, sometimes the name Joshua is spelled Jehoshua. Jehoshua. And that name, Jehoshua, comes from two Hebrew names. Jeho is short for Jehovah, the Lord. And then Shua means help. And so Jehoshua or Joshua literally means the Lord helps, or the Lord is our helper. Now, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, and therefore the name Jesus also means the Lord is our helper. You see, God gave us His Son because He knew that we desperately needed help. Jesus came into the world to help us, we who are helpless. And that's why we read in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come into this world to be ministered, to be served, but to serve. Imagine that. Now let's pause for a moment and digest this reality that Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world not to be served, but to serve. He came to render service to us. And it is in this sense that Jesus became our servant. He came to serve us. And therefore, reverently speaking, we can call Jesus our servant. And that's the theme of our message this morning. Admittedly, we're not used to calling Jesus our servant. When was the last time you referred to Jesus as your servant? Yes, we refer to Him as our Lord, as our Savior, as our King, the King of Kings, but we rarely think of Jesus as our servant, which is a glorious title that His Father Himself has given to Him. His Father in heaven also calls Jesus, His Son, His servant. We read in Isaiah 42, verse 1. And here, God the Father is speaking, "Behold, my servant." This is God the Father speaking, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights." And so even God the Father calls His Son my servant. Commenting on this verse, Charles Spurgeon explains, "Verily, these prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ," observe the title which he takes, "He is called the servant of God." The Father calls Him His servant. You see, Jesus came into this world to do the will of His Father, who sent Him to finish His work. You see, Jesus is our servant. He is also the servant of His Father. He came to serve His Father. And yes, even in His exaltation, Jesus remains our servant. Yes, He is now in heaven, exalted, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But what is Jesus doing there right now? He is serving us. He remains to be our servant because He continues to minister to us. Remember, He is our advocate. He intercedes for us. 1 John chapter 2, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He intercedes for us and brings our prayers before His Father. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. We come to God through Jesus, who always lives to make intercession for us. And so it is in this sense that Jesus, even in his exaltation, remains our servant. If you will, he is our loyal, faithful servant. Now, going back to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, where we read, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The verb serve there also appears in Luke chapter 22, verse 27, where it refers to someone who waits on tables, or someone who serves meals to people. Let me read that verse, Luke chapter 22, verse 27. So Jesus says to his disciples, "For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves." Think about that. I am the one who serves. Jesus came into this world as a servant to offer us a meal, to offer us bread. Himself is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He came to offer us a drink. He is the living water, so that whoever eats his bread and whoever drinks from his fountain will not be hungry and thirsty anymore. See, right now in the gospel, Jesus is speaking to you. He's saying to you, "I am here to serve you. I am your servant. I am offering you a meal free of charge. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy without money and without price. Come and eat that your soul may live." You see, Satan wants to give you a kind of food that will give you a temporary satisfaction. Yes, the kind of food that Satan and that this world offers you, it may taste good right now, but you know, eventually, it will rob you of true joy. But you see, Jesus, if you will, reverently speaking, he's our great waiter. He's a waiter serving a meal for us, free of charge. The only thing that we need to do is come to him and eat that bread and drink that water. Come and eat and drink. And that's our responsibility, by the way, to come to him. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we went to British Columbia. We went to Vancouver in Gastown. It's a tourist spot. And we saw a lady there asking for money. She said that she was very hungry. And so my wife and I said, "Okay, follow us and we will buy you food. Come and we will take you to a nearby restaurant." And we actually said to her, "You can pick whatever you want and we will pay for you." And you know, boys and girls, what she said to us? She said, "Well, I would rather have money," she said. Well, when we heard that, I said to my wife, "She is not really a true beggar, because she is demanding and she is not really truly hungry. Because if you are truly hungry, you will come." What an offer. Free meal. And you can eat whatever you want. You see, her responsibility is to come, but she did not come. My friend, if you are hungry and thirsty this morning, spiritually speaking, it is your fault. You cannot blame Jesus, because Jesus is your great waiter. In his restaurant, there is a buffet filled with food. And he's saying, come, eat and drink, buy without money. You don't need to bring anything with you. Now, of course, imagine if there is a restaurant that will make that announcement. Come and eat without money. I'll be the first one to be there. Oh, you want to eat? It's free. Wow, it's free. But you see, in this restaurant of the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves to serve. And you don't need to be intimidated by Him. Sometimes we get intimidated when we get served by someone who is maybe a little bit higher than we are. Imagine your boss, right? Imagine maybe the queen, our queen, one day sent you a note, I would like to dine with you. You are invited. And the queen herself prepared the meal, right? And the queen said, I just want to sit. Just sit. You don't need to do anything. Just sit. I will bring the food to you. Now, I would admit, I would not feel comfortable. Like, no, especially you're old, queen. Let me help you in the kitchen. Let me carry it. And the queen would insist, no. I just want to serve you. Just sit and relax and enjoy this meal. This is for you. I delight to serve. You see, that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, how often we want to help Him, right? We want to bring our contribution. Well, here's a tip, or here's, I really want to pay, and we feel bad if we just receive it for free. Well, the gospel is free. Salvation is free. Eternal life is free. That's why Jesus says, come and buy and eat. Without money, without price. And we don't need to hesitate to come to Jesus and think that He might reject us if we come and we probably say, this is too good to be true. Again, going back to that analogy, if one day we see a restaurant and it says, free food. Now, I confess, I would probably come and check this out and see what's going on here. But I would confess, I would feel awkward, and this is too good to be true. Like, I can really eat for free, right? But you see, in the gospel, that is true. Come, everyone who thirsts, Jesus says. And when He says everyone, that includes you. John 6:37, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The word whoever includes you, that if you come to Him right now, He will welcome you. You will be seated and served by this great servant, by this great waiter, as it were. And you see, He is very approachable. There are people who are able to help, but sometimes you feel hesitant to approach that person, for instance, because the person is not really approachable. So you think twice, if I come to Him, will He really help me? You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is very approachable. I was reading this article about teenagers. Where teens turn for help. A recent survey by America's most popular teen magazine revealed that only 4.1% of the teenage girls in America feel they could go to their father and talk about a serious problem. Even more recently, USA Today published the eye-opening results of a study of teens and teens under stress. When asked where they turned to for help in a crisis, the most popular choice was music, and the second choice was peers, and the third was television or cell phone. Amazing as it may sound, moms were down the list at number 31, and dads were 48th. One of the reasons why teenage girls hesitate to come to their father for help is because they don't find their father accessible and approachable. And this is a solemn warning to us parents. Are we accessible and approachable to our children? Do they feel comfortable talking to us about their serious problem? Or maybe we can be insensitive, not gentle, but judgmental. You see, one of the problems that we have today in many churches, evangelical Reformed churches, is that members would rather seek spiritual help outside their own church family. Why? Because their fellow members are not understanding but condemning. You come for help, especially when you share your burden, your weakness, right away, they condemn you. They are not compassionate but heartless. And so many Christians today hesitate to unload their burdens, to share their burdens even with elders and pastors and deacons and church leaders. And so they would rather go to someone who, yes, is showing compassion, but unfortunately is giving a wrong piece of advice. It's like this. I don't know if you've had this experience. You went to a restaurant, and the waiter or the waitress was just so, like, was rude. Like, was not really welcoming, was not friendly, was not, the waiter was not helping you feel comfortable. We had that experience. I actually said to my wife, we need to go. It had something to do with allergy, because our daughter has allergy with peanut. And instead of showing like, okay, we'll take care, and the waitress just said, well, if you don't want to eat here, don't eat here. Say, okay, we will not eat here. If you can't assure us that my daughter will not have peanut. No, there's no compassion. Now, of course, there are waiters and waitresses. They're just so amazing. And that makes you give them more than 20%. Like, you just want to, like, show appreciation. Now, unfortunately, in our churches today, and when I say churches, I'm talking now broadly, evangelical, reformed, you have church leaders who do not know how to serve, like a waitress who is so insensitive, not showing compassion. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is different. Jesus knows how to serve. And that's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, we read this in our scripture reading, verses 5, 6, and 7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen now please, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. This is Jesus, the Son of God. But he did not consider himself as such. He made himself of no reputation. How many of us are concerned with our reputation? Right? That's important. No, I don't want my reputation to be at stake. I don't want to do this lest others think that I am a bad person. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He set aside His reputation. Remember, He ate with what? He ate with sinners. And that's why the Pharisees, they look at Jesus. This man is dining with a sinner, a prostitute, hanging around with sinners. When he was baptized in the Jordan River, he associated himself with sinners. Isaiah says he was numbered among sinners, among criminals. Think of his reputation. When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, when he was crucified on the cross, think of his reputation. Where is the reputation? This is the Son of God. Almost naked. Crucified along with other criminals. Though he himself had not committed sin. And then, he took upon him the form of a servant. Oh, I love that. He became our servant. You see, Jesus as our server, He knows how to serve. He knows what to say to us and how to say it to us. And that's why even Jesus Himself in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and verse 29, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am what?" Oh, I love that. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." You see, Jesus is a gentle servant. He's a meek servant. You may have heard of this name, Rosaria Champagne. Rosaria Champagne. She was interviewed years ago by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth for Revive Our Hearts radio program. Rosaria was a lesbian atheist. Lesbian atheist. She was actually at that time in a committed lesbian relationship. She had a PhD in English literature and became a professor at a large research university in the U.S. In New York State. One day, she received a letter from a pastor by the name of Ken Smith, the pastor of the Syracuse Reformed Presbyterian Church in New York. She didn't want to read the entire letter. She just read the first paragraph. But there was something in the letter, she said, that made her want to finish reading it. And listen to what she said. In his letter, in the letter of Pastor Ken, in his letter, Pastor Ken wrote to me like I was not some kid of a dangerous idiot. He respected me as a person who had thought deeply and hard about these conclusions. But he also disagreed with me. His letter was the kindest letter of opposition or disagreement that I had ever received. And so Rosaria called this pastor. And to make the story short, the pastor and his wife invited Rosaria for supper. Rosaria accepted the invitation and was ready to have a heated debate with this pastor about gender issues. Remember, she was a lesbian atheist. But Rosaria said, "I figured, okay, here are evangelical Christians, and I am a lesbian atheist. I am a project. They are going to have to get the gospel in, and an invitation to church in, and some good scourging about my sexual sin in before I get back in my car, because I might get hit by a car driving the mile home to my house, and then it would be all their responsibility, because that's what I thought Christians believed." But what Rosaria discovered was something very different. She made this comment. it was a gentle conversation. I had not had much time around men in general, but I had had zero time around a godly man. There was no man in my life that had ever treated me the way that Pastor Ken did. It was discernible, not with just what he said, but how he approached me. His gentleness, his looking me in the eye, his treating me like I was not exhibit A of what not to be in the world. And Ken almost acted as though he had nothing else going on in his life but to answer my questions. You know what happened? 2 years later, by God's grace, this lesbian atheist came to faith. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Now, Rosaria Champagne is now Butterfield, married to a godly man, a pastor actually, and they have 4 children. She was transformed by the miraculous power of the gospel. And see, we can learn from Pastor Ken here, who opened his home to a lesbian atheist to serve her a meal. He was gentle. Yes, he confronted her. He showed disagreement with her, but he did it with love. You see, people will sense that. You see, Jesus is like that. Far excellence, of course. Jesus is our gentle servant, our gentle Savior, willing to help us. And He's so approachable that you don't need to think twice. If you come to Him, I guarantee this, because this is the word of Jesus, that whoever comes to Him shall not be cast out. It's guaranteed, my friend, that if this morning, if you come to Jesus by faith and in repentance, you will be received by Jesus. Oh, you may say, but Pastor Brian, you have no idea how sinful I am. Oh, you have no idea about the sins that I have committed in the past. But Jesus has an idea about those sins. He knows them all your sins, past, present, and future. And no matter how big your sin is, the mercy and grace of Jesus is greater, bigger still. His blood is sufficient to cleanse you from all your iniquities. Oh, Jesus loves to serve. Now, boys and girls, I remember when I was a little boy and back home in the Philippines, I grew up without dishwasher. If you have a dishwasher at home, boys and girls, and if your parents ask you to do the chore, take care of the dishes, you're so blessed. My time, I had to wash dishes with my hands. And I confess, whenever my mom would ask me to do dishes, I felt like she was punishing me. It was like the worst thing that I could ever do in the world. I hated it. I didn't want to do dishes. Now, of course, I love it now, with the help of the dishwasher, of course. But I didn't like it. But you see, Jesus, as our servant, He delights in serving you. Jesus finds delight and joy in helping sinners. The only thing that you need to do is come to Him for help, because if you don't, He cannot help you. And that's one of our problems. We know that we need some help. We know that we are burdened. We know that we are grieving. We know that we are hurting. But we don't look for help. We don't seek help. Well, I understand maybe you don't feel comfortable just unloading your burden, sharing it with others. But my friend, you can do it to Jesus. You can tell everything to Him. Just between you and Him. All your inmost
concerns and worries, all your problems, your worries that you may not want to share with us, you can share all of them with Jesus. And He will listen to you. He will not condemn you. He will serve you with His grace and mercy. When you ask for forgiveness, He will forgive you. He loves to serve. He is our servant. Now, let's admit, yes, we are all servants, but there are times that we don't always enjoy what we do, right? We murmur, do it again. Or even in the church, right? Well, he's asking me again to do this. Or, I'm tired of doing this and that. You see, Jesus does not get tired of serving sinners. That's His specialty. That's His favorite thing to do, to save sinners such as we are. And boys and girls, and you might think that Jesus is not for you. He is. Jesus loves to serve you also, boys and girls. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them from coming to me. Because Jesus also loves to serve our children. Parents, don't hinder your children from coming to Jesus, because Jesus is also for our children. I remember Charles Hodge, once a principal of Princeton Theological Seminary. So he had his office, his study remodeled. And the carpenter who did it asked Charles Hodge, "Is everything to your satisfaction?" He said, "Yes, except one thing. Can you please put the door handle a little lower?" And the carpenter asked, "Lower the door handle? Why? You're not short." "Well, because of my son. I want my son to reach the door handle so that when he comes to visit me, he can easily open the door and come to me." You see, God the Father gave us His Son. He lowered that doorknob, as it were. The doorknob is here, reachable. You can reach it right now. Open that door by faith and come to Jesus. And you will be surprised. Once you open, you will see this glorious restaurant buffet filled with spiritual blessings, the blessing of adoption. You will become His child, the child of the Father. You will experience justification. You will be declared just before God by faith. The blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of sanctification, the Holy Spirit will mold you and sanctify you and cleanse you from your iniquity. The blessing of glorification. Someday, when Jesus returns, He will change you, transform you completely so that you would be compatible with the new heaven and new earth where only righteousness dwells. And you can dwell there forever and ever with Jesus, enjoying this everlasting feasting with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah! What a Savior we have. He is our servant. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the suffering servant, and yet the exalted one, we thank You that indeed we may call You our servant, for You came to serve us. And Lord, in return, we also want to serve You. And that's why we are here this morning. We call this worship service.
Because we are worshiping you and we are serving you. You have served us. Allow us now, Lord, to serve you with all our heart, mind, and soul, even as we sing praises to you. In Jesus' name, we pray.